And there, standing in front of me, was a very tall grey alien creature. And for some reason, I was quite calm. It was just like sitting with my own doctor. I felt calm, relaxed and at home. The creature then asked me a question. "What do you want to do with your life?" the grey asked. Gary was caught off guard by the question. "Bear in mind I could have said anything," he explains. "A doctor, a famous actor, more intelligent, a bigger dick. Any damn thing. But no, wow, my answer was so stupid, so ridiculous, so humiliating, I simply can't bring myself to tell you. They must have thought I was a complete and utter moron. They must also have no sense of humor. If I were them, I'd have been in fits of laughter. That's all I remember until the next morning. It was a strange experience, and for the first time, was actually pleasant for a change. Or at least not painful or scary. But it raised a lot of questions. Why was a tall grey extraterrestrial asking him questions about what he chose to do with his life? Why was he being abducted by aliens? Was his family involved? He had no answers. And then, not long after the experience, he again woke up to find himself on board a UFO. Only this time, his wife was with him, and she was not happy. "I went to bed," Gary says. "It was an average day, an average night. The next thing I know, I'm somewhere else. I didn't have a clue where I was, or what was going on." Gary had woken up spontaneously and was very disoriented. He struggled to wake up and reach full consciousness. And when he did, he could hardly believe his eyes. He was with them. The aliens. I can't put into words how I felt. I realized my wife was with me. We were both naked and huddled together, like two trapped animals in the corner of a cage. She was awake also, and terrified. We were in some sort of clear liquid, as clear as water. But we could breathe in it. There was nothing around us, and it was a very large tank, several feet deep with clear sides all around. As we looked up, we could see grey aliens on a walkway to the right, about 5 feet above us, just staring down and observing us. There were three tall ones and two short ones. Gary recognized the tall grey. It was the same kind of grey who had painfully injected his head with a needle almost 10 years earlier. "The tall ones are the intelligent ones," Gary learned. "They are the bosses. The little ones just do the donkey work, fetching and carrying. Any experimenting and questioning is by the tall ones." Grace was terrified and screaming. The liquid that they were in was not only breathable, they were able to talk to each other. "Gary, what's happening? What are we going to do?" Gary tried to calm her down. "It's okay," he said. "They're not going to hurt us." "Are you sure?" she asked. "Yes," he said. But he wasn't sure. "Truthfully," explains Gary, "I didn't have a clue. But there was probably nothing I could do anyway." They saw that we had come around and observed us a little longer. Behind them, nearly out of sight, I saw a man, possibly two, also observing. The men appeared to be normal humans, and were dressed in black suits and dark boots. Each held something much like a tablet or clipboard, as though monitoring Gary and Grace, and taking notes about what they observed. To Gary, they looked more like CIA agents than aliens. "That's it," Gary says. "I have no idea how they do it. But we were out cold until the next morning." Gary instantly remembered the experience when he woke up. After some gentle and discreet questioning, it was clear that Grace had no memory of the event. And he certainly was not about to tell her. One evening in late 1994, Gary experienced the single most dramatic UFO sighting of his life. It was a solid-looking object, cigar-shaped and very low. "It went slowly over our house," Gary says. "It was only a few hundred feet up, and is the biggest movable object I have ever seen in my life. It blotted out the winter sky and never made a sound." After that, the experiences stopped. For whatever reason, they were done with him. Gary's wife and son still had no idea about his experiences, and now that they were over, there was no reason to tell them. Life moved on. Gary found a job in a warehouse. It was hard work, but satisfying, and it paid the bills. While the aliens appeared to be gone from his life, Gary continued to have dramatic out-of-body experiences. He would travel to the moon, to other galaxies, to other dimensions and universes, much of which defies languages to describe them. He also continued to experience occasional premonitions, usually of tragedies of some sort, some personal, and others involving world events. It was Grace, however, whose psychic gifts were even more pronounced. She regularly experienced visions and premonitions, and often just seemed to know events beforehand. But overall, Gary and Grace lived a quiet, normal life. Then, in 2016, after more than 20 years of no activity, the aliens came back with a vengeance. A few years earlier, they decided to move. They liked the city of Carlisle. It's a large picturesque city, with a strong military presence and a rich cultural history. They found a house in a small village some distance outside the city and made the move. It was still a very rural area. The house was on a cul-de-sac. It was perfect for their little family. It took many months to fully unpack. They had just begun to really settle into their new home when it happened. It was just an average evening. Gary had already slept a few hours that night. He was now awake, but lay in bed relaxing, with his eyes closed. To my sudden shock, Gary says, "I feel the covers on my bed being pulled back. My eyes shoot open. I wasn't sure whether I had imagined it, or dreamed it, or what. I knew it wasn't Grace. I put it down to my imagination, and started to relax again. But in no more than a few moments, it happened again. This time I knew it wasn't my imagination. My heart was pounding like a steam train. I decided to just lay there. The next thing I know, the covers are completely off me, and I'm being floated out of my bed, and out my window, and up. And that's all I remember. What happened to me after that, where they took me, what they did to me, I have no idea. The next thing I know, it's morning and I'm back in bed." Gary was stunned. He felt normal, and saw no unusual marks on his body. But it was clear to him what happened. He had been taken. The Greys were back. It was only a few months later when it happened again. Same as before, Gary was lying in bed, relaxing when he felt the covers slide smoothly off the bed. He rose into the air and sailed out the window, into the sky and promptly lost consciousness. Again, he had no memory of what happened during the missing time. And when it happened again a few months later, he still remembered nothing. He did notice something new. He started to feel a strange sensation before they would arrive. He could feel them coming. But not always. One normal evening, he went to bed and woke up in a very strange place. "I'm slowly waking up and feeling very sexually aroused," Gary says. Now fully awake, to my surprise a young lady was on top of me having sex with me. Seeing that I was awake, she quickly got off of me and sat beside me. To say I was shocked and alarmed was an understatement. "Shush," the woman whispered urgently. "It's okay. Keep calm. You're okay." She was a pretty girl, dark-haired, petite, maybe 19 or 20 years old. Gary felt immediately reassured by the strange woman. He was naked, and sitting on the floor in a strange place next to a complete stranger, and he was still aroused. He was facing the wall, beyond which was a large arched doorway leading to a strangely curved, narrow and dimly lit corridor. Wondering where he was, he turned around to look behind him. "No, please," the woman said, her voice rising in panic. "Stay facing this way. Here, look at me." "But it was too late," Gary explains. "And though I only saw behind me for a few moments, I remember what I saw vividly. The place we were in was enormous, more a small warehouse than a large room, and everywhere you looked, the floor was filled with bodies, some laying still, others writhing about in pleasure. Both men and women. The feeling I got was, I really, really wasn't supposed to see this." Gary estimates there were at least 50 people, maybe 100. Most lay there unconscious and by themselves. A smaller percentage were coupled, together, apparently having intercourse. "Look at me," the woman commanded. Gary looked back at the woman. "As I sat there," says Gary, "having just turned back around, and staring out into the corridor, to my utter shock, walking past side by side, were two small alien greys. I got the distinct feeling they were deep in conversation. He reeled back in shock and panic, and shouted out an expletive. The girl reached out and grabbed him. "Just ignore them, and they won't bother you," she said. The two greys walked past the opening and were gone. The woman stood up, put out her hand. "Quickly. Come with me." He took the woman's hand as she led him out the room through a smaller arched doorway that he hadn't even noticed. "Quickly," she said. "In here it will be safe." Gary found himself strangely calm. "I followed her in." This room was relatively small, more long than wide, and seemed to be some sort of washroom, with a work surface with sinks on the opposite wall. She went over and leaned against it. I followed her over, picked her up and put her on the counter. We kissed a little. Gary found himself speaking with the girl, flirting. "You're really nice," he said. "I really like you. I really like you too. You want to do it again?" he asked. Gary doesn't quite remember what happened next, but he believes she ultimately declined. Amazed that all this was happening to him, he began to ask questions. "Why are you doing this?" he asked. "Why are they doing this?" "I'm not allowed to tell you," the woman replied. Gary asked a few other questions, but he can't remember what they were. All he remembers is that the woman evaded answering every single question he asked. The woman had been enjoying interacting with him. He got the feeling that this was an unusual experience for her, a rare opportunity to talk with someone else. He had the impression that she worked and lived with the Greys, and although she appeared fully human, did not live on Earth. Unfortunately, Gary's constant questioning was clearly making the woman nervous, and the next thing he knew, it was morning and he was back in bed. The experience convinced him that the Greys have a strong agenda involving human reproduction, and that abductions are far more widespread than most people realize. He speculated that perhaps everyone is being abducted, but only a very few remember. More strange experiences followed. Periodically, Gary began to see what he calls shadow people. He first saw them one evening while lying in bed. He opened his eyes and saw a figure standing by the TV. "It was the shape of a person," says Gary, "like a black silhouette, like a three-dimensional shadow figure. It seemed quite tall." The figure suddenly darted through the curtain and a closed window, and was gone. Following this incident, he began to see the figures regularly, while watching TV, while waking up in the middle of the night to use the restroom, or whenever. Other strange things happened. One day Grace screamed loudly. Gary came running, and Grace explained that she had just seen the ghost of a woman. On another occasion, they woke up to find all the stove burners had been switched on. Ghostly footsteps and other strange noises also plagued the household. While they have two dogs, and a pet tarantula, both of them saw what appeared to be a ghost dog walking through the house. This happened enough times that they joked about having a new pet in the house. Gary saw other even stranger apparitions. Once he saw a dark, round creature, about the size of a grapefruit, scuttle across the floor on spider-like legs. One evening he was lying in bed when he saw a four-legged lizard-like creature about 4 feet long and with a face like a crocodile, moving up the bedroom wall. It turned and hissed at him. Gary had always loved animals of all kinds, especially reptiles and spiders, but this thing reminded him of a demon. He would see it several times over a period of months, always in the bedroom. While most of his abductions occur in the middle of the night, Gary recalls one incident from 2016 that occurred in the morning. Gary walked downstairs, and to his shock, there was a Grey standing in the living room, next to the base of the stairs. He instantly remembered the earlier incident when he had come upon a Grey in the living room, standing like a scolded schoolboy. On that occasion, Gary had passed out before he had a chance to react. This time, events unfolded very differently. Gary lunged forward, wrapped his hands around the Grey's neck, and began choking it. "This time it wasn't as quick," Gary says, "but I was. I grabbed it by the throat. In a single moment, a thousand thoughts went through my head. I remember thinking, how surreal. I've got some creature from another world by the throat. What the hell do I do now? Its skin felt cold, firm and leathery. It was a split second, because then its spindly little arms were spinning around like windmills, desperately trying to get rid of me. It was screaming in my head, get off me. Get off me, now. Without warning, something rushed at Gary from behind. He instantly lost consciousness. That's all I remember, Gary says. I have no idea what happened after that, where I went, or for how long. I have no idea. Back, it's nice to make those bastards panic for a change. In 2017, Gary woke up to find himself laid out on a cold hard table. To his dismay, a familiar-looking tall grey proceeded to painfully pierce his temple with a large needle. It was a repeat of his first experience when he was just a young man of 19 or 20. There were more experiences of waking up and being pulled from his bed, floated through the window and upward. As usual, he remembered nothing. It wasn't long before the Greys were back. Only this time, they were coming for Grace. Sometime in the middle of the night, I started to wake up, Gary says. I kind of knew something wasn't right. It's a really odd feeling. I'm struggling to put it into words, honestly. But it kind of felt like I was being forced back to sleep when I noticed something move toward the left of me, by the bed. I tried to sit up. Just sleep, a hypnotic voice said. Just sleep. It nearly worked, Gary says, and I went very groggy, but managed to sit back up, only to feel a hand gently pushing me down. It's okay, the voice said. Just sleep. It's not you we need this time, says Gary. As I went back down, I managed to look to the right of me and saw a couple of Greys getting my wife out of bed. Gary felt a wave of anger. How insulting, he thought. The Greys were supposed to come for him, not his wife. One evening in September 2018, Gary went to bed. Sometime in the middle of the night he started to wake up. There was a bright light in his eyes. Disoriented, he became fully awake to realize that he was in a standing position, inside what appeared to be the control room of a small alien craft. I stood there motionless and silent, Gary says. Straight in front of me, no more than 8 feet away, were two small Greys, sitting there with their backs to me, flying the small craft we were in. I was standing against the wall. The whole craft seemed to be circular. It was like being in a ball, or a bubble. Apart from the floor, every direction I looked was clear, just totally transparent, like there was no glass there. Gary knew that he wasn't meant to wake up. And excited about what he was seeing outside, he saw no reason to let the Greys know that he was awake. I decided to just continue standing there and take in the view. We were only several feet off the ground, picking up speed all the time, but still at the same height. The view all around me was desert. To me, it appeared to be a North American desert, more like scrubland. Strangely, for a few moments, I just got lost in the beautiful view. A few minutes passed, and I finally decided to say something, but wasn't quite sure what to say. Finally, Gary just blurted out, "All right, lads." Their reaction was priceless. The shock it caused them was instant and amazing, Gary says. It's the only time I've ever seen one lose their cool in any way at all. They literally freaked, one of them in particular, the one sitting to the right. I got the distinct feeling it was very young or immature. It got out of its seat and proceeded to run wildly back and forth, from left to right, in the small space between us. It just wanted out of there, to get away. I stood there, watching this thing and thinking, talk about role reversal. This thing was still seriously freaking out, and I couldn't help myself. I started to laugh. It's okay, Gary said loudly. I'm not going to hurt you. The one Grey continued to freak out, and the other remained silent and unmoving. It's okay, he said again. I'm not going to hurt you. The Grey that was sitting down and presumably flying the craft replied nervously, okay, but please just stay where you are. Stay where you are, stopped laughing, but he was still smiling. I will, he told them. Don't worry, finally, The young Gray stopped panicking, calmed down and went back to his seat. The next thing Gary knew, the ship appeared to have stopped, and both the Grays approached him. They had a brief telepathic conversation. They gave him a strong impression that this was the first time a human had become conscious while they were returning someone to their home. "Why do you do this to people?" he asked. "We are not allowed to tell you," they replied. Gary had the distinct impression of sadness. "Can you let me remember being taken?" he asked. Again, Gary felt a wave of sadness. "No, we're not allowed," they said. "Who am I going to tell?" he asked. "Who would believe me anyway?" The Grays made no response, and the next thing Gary knew, he was waking up in bed. At first, he assumed it had been a normal night, and didn't actually remember the incident. It wasn't until later in the day when his memory of the experience suddenly came rushing back to him. The memories were shocking and vivid. Remembering what happened, he began laughing. "I honestly get the impression, and I truly believe, that they let me remember this as a little thank you for staying calm, and not causing trouble, or a crash." 3 days after the experience, Gary remembered one other detail. "It suddenly hit me like a ton of bricks," he says. "I'd actually come out of some sort of opening or door in the side of a mountain or mound in the desert. So, I had literally come out of some sort of underground base or facility. I always thought I was taken up into some large spacecraft. But now I'm not really sure. The craft I was in was no more than a small shuttle craft, I presume ferrying people back and forth to this facility." The idea of underground alien bases had never occurred to him. But he couldn't deny what he remembered. He was finished with denial. He was ready to face his experiences head on. A few months later, during late December 2018, Gary was lying in bed when he suddenly began to sense the Grays coming. "Sometimes there's an energy that precedes them, just before they enter the room," Gary says. "I don't know if it's to make it easier for them to move, or to subdue me. It's kind of a heaviness. It's hard to explain." The heaviness was strong. If it was meant to paralyze him, it wasn't working on him. But it did let him know that the Grays were actually in the room. This time, he was ready for them, says Gary. "I waited until it had pulled the covers right back, and I punched it in the face. And I can tell you now, they may look small and cute to some people sometimes, but this thing suddenly changed. It was furious. It hissed loudly and lunged for me. Its face changed. Suddenly it looked nothing like a Gray. It looked like something completely different. Its small narrow mouth went from a tiny slit to a wide gaping thing with spiky teeth. It was something that in all intent and purposes seems to try to come across as innocent, frail and harmless, but in fact has the teeth of a predator for gripping, shredding, and ripping. And when I punched it, it was like its mask slipped for a moment, revealing its true identity. I shot up in bed. I thought I was going to die. I threw my fist right back. I was going to punch it through the wall. I thought I was fighting for my life." The experience abruptly ended. Upon awakening, Gary remembered the confrontation, the leathery feel of the Gray's skin, the way it had opened its mouth to reveal small pointed teeth. He was about to punch it again, when he passed out. He was amazed at how he had been able to fight back against the Grays. They were no longer able to paralyze him with their energy. Next time, he vowed to fight back again. Only a few months later, he was lying in bed when he felt their energy fill the room. They were here. He thought to himself, this time he wouldn't punch them. He would kick them with more power. "As soon as I thought that," says Gary, "I was out cold. I think I'm now in their bad books," he says. One evening in early 2019, Gary woke up to relieve his bladder. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a group of 10 to 20 orbs of light about the size of ping pong balls appeared right next to his head and began to swirl around at high speed. Gary stared at them for several moments, then fled the bathroom and returned to bed. A few months later, in the spring of 2019, Gary had one of his most recent experiences. He had just climbed into bed, and was still sitting up. Suddenly a bright light filled the room. He assumed it must be a car, though even that was unusual. But it got brighter and brighter, Gary says, and I sat there and stared at it. Then to my utter surprise, an orange ball the size of a grapefruit silently came through the closed window and curtains, and just hovered in the room. I sat there in bed and said aloud, "Well, this is new." There was a blinding flash and that's the last thing I remember. Gary woke up the next morning with no memory of what happened after the flash, but he speculates that the purpose of the visit was about his recent violent reactions toward the Greys. Gary's most recent UFO experience occurred in early December 2019. I was up early one morning as usual. I was looking out the back window staring into the thick mist covering my garden and field when a wind blew and to my utter surprise pushed the mist around an outline of a UFO. This thing was completely invisible, and if it wasn't for the wind, it would have remained so. The invisible object hovered in place about 50 feet above Gary's backyard. It was oval-shaped and perfectly defined. Finally, the mist cleared, and the object was no longer detectable. Currently, Gary continues to experience abductions. Usually he remembers nothing but being pulled from his bed. Unable to do anything about it, he devotes little thought to it. He did finally decide to tell his wife, though as he says, "I had to get drunk to do it. It was like confessing to some dirty secret. It would be easier confessing to being a serial killer, I think." Grace was shocked, but knowing that Gary would never lie about such things, she had no choice but to believe him. It certainly helped explain some of the many strange things in their home. Emboldened by his wife's supportive reaction, he also told his best friend. To Gary's relief, his friend also believed him and was very supportive. "It was such a relief," Gary says, "like a massive weight being lifted from my shoulders. I can't even begin to explain. It's strange. Now that the weight has been lifted, I want people to know." While Gary does believe that his incredible abilities with out-of-body travel are related to his abductions, he has little sympathy for the ETs. "I honestly think nearly everybody is abducted," he says. "It's like a cattle market. The difference is, most people simply have no idea, don't remember and never will. It's just the odd unlucky person, or lucky, I suppose, depending on your outlook, like myself, that occasionally does, for whatever reason. We are simply no more than lab rats to these things. I've spent most of my life trying to block all this out. I think that's what they want you to do, the tossers. But now, I've gotten through that mental block. The genie is out of the bottle." Conclusions: we have now explored 15 first-hand cases of people who have experienced an onboard UFO encounter, and for many of them, a lifetime of contact. We have the information. It's now time to try and make sense of what is going on. Tony, Chapter 1, Star Daughter, reached out to me after hearing me on the radio. While all of the witnesses in this book eventually begin a quest to understand their experiences, Tony is the only one who used hypnosis. Ironically, however, his case involves more fully conscious encounters than some of the other witnesses. He had at least three instances of fully conscious face-to-face contact. During our interviews, Tony told me that he was elderly, and he wanted to get these events recorded before it was too late. These are words I've heard from other witnesses, and it shows not only their sincerity, but the importance witnesses place upon their experiences. Despite wanting to share, Tony was also somewhat shy, and it took a while for him to fully reveal his encounters. At one point, as he spoke about the probability that he had a daughter somewhere out there being raised by ETs, he openly wept. He tried, but was unable to contain his emotion. He apologized and I, of course, comforted him as best as I could. I knew other witnesses who struggled with the same dilemma. Tony's case illustrates one of the main ET agendas: reproduction. Tony also shows a remarkable gentleness of spirit and sensitivity that I've seen in other people who have had extensive contact. For him, the most impactful event was the long-staring contest he had with the Grey. While no words were exchanged, Tony felt a kinship to the Grey. This theme of being related to the ETs in some way turns up in other cases. Pat, Chapter 2, Pat's Gift, has a wonderfully forthright and unfiltered way of talking, and describes her encounters with obvious sincerity. As she shared her experiences, I could tell that she herself was amazed at them.